The comments heard on The View from a Pew are those of Mac McCoy and are not necessarily the opinions of his guests, his producer Garth, any one particular denomination or religion, the church lady, Mr. Lemke, Pastor Craig, or anyone else of sound mind and body. Now, here is today's The View from a Pew, heard all around the world on YouTube. Just search for The View from a Pew.
Good afternoon. It is time for The View from a Pew. This is a faith-based podcast and webcast. And today we're answering the question, what does the Bible say about, and that's always blank, and most of the time you email me and tell me what you'd like to know. That email is Mac, M-A-C like macaroni, at theviewfromapew.com. My guest host is always, as always, Gary Hutchins is here from Sunny Slope Church of Christ, 108th and Maple in Omaha, Nebraska. Services at 9:30 and 10:30.
Yep.
And then at 6:30.
Yep, 6 o'clock Sunday night.
I missed it again.
6:30 Wednesday night.
Yeah, right.
You're close.
But close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yep, that's right.
All right, so for those of you folks that are regular listeners or we know each other, you know that Jesus gave me the ministry of forgiveness. And I was, I thought I was going to be this hot dog pastor, and I wasn't. Couldn't stand it. Left the church after 7.5 months because I got tired of everybody complaining about Bill in the back row sings off key and Sally's having an affair with this person and the carpet's wrong. Cut out for most, not for me. So I asked Jesus to tell me what his will for me was. And this was in June or July of 16. So 8 years ago. And I said, as much as I don't want to travel to a different country, I'll do it. If that's what you call me to do, I'll do it. So Christmas, I know this is going to sound magical, but it just is the way it worked out. Christmas Eve, Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. I said, God, can you please tell me what your will is for my life? And I heard one word, forgive. And what I have figured out since then is my forgiver was broken, if I even ever had one. So he gave me a ministry that I didn't know anything about, and you can't give something away if you don't know it or don't have it. So I've spent many years learning to forgive and learning to help other people, and I will tell you there's a curriculum out there that I facilitate at Wee University, which is Water's Edge University out at 196th and Harrison, and it's called 70 times 7. And I would love to have you as a part of that sometime if you would like to. All right. Good afternoon, Gary, or morning. How are you?
Good. How about you, Mac?
Good. Big week, of course, a Holy Week, and looking forward to Easter. We're having like 600 children at the Easter egg hunt.
Oh, my.
On Saturday. So I don't know if they have anything in the eggs or not, but I know we didn't color them. They came in plastic. So, tell me about, act like I'm one of your congregation, okay. And today you're going to teach me about forgiveness. So act as if I know nothing, which shouldn't be too hard.
Well, when you're talking about forgiveness, the first thing that you need to come to understand is that, as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, and then also verse 23, and then you see it also in Galatians and you know different places. First, you need to recognize that you're a sinner. And
I resemble that remark.
Yeah, right. Okay. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that's Romans right. 3 and verse 23. And, you know, we're under sin. John wrote in one of his letters that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one, speaking of the devil. Yeah. And so we need to understand that we're sinful and we need forgiveness. You know, in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4, David, when he was, and this is set after he had committed his sin with Bathsheba and then engineered the death of her husband, you know, and so you might say, you know, from a from a kind of a standoff, long-distance perspective, I mean, he basically had her husband, could you even say murdered?
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
But, you know,
and then they had a baby together.
Well, yeah, that's correct. You know,
and then the baby died.
The baby died, and that was judgment from God. Some people might say, well, that was harsh on God's part, but understand that baby was innocent, and so there's no question about where that baby went. But David, here is a prayer from him to God after he came to his senses. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. It's interesting, there are three different references to sin there, three different words, transgression, iniquity, sin. Then he goes on in verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression, there that one is again, and my sin is always before me. There's sin again, and then against you only have I sinned and done this evil, and so there's a fourth reference to sin, in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. I mean, he was really pouring it on there, saying, I know I have sinned, and he uses four different words to describe that. When you look at Ephesians chapter 2 and the first three verses there, the Apostle Paul, he talks about everybody, basically, all of humanity. And he says, he's writing this to Christians. So he's saying, you know, you have been forgiven, but remember where you came from. You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, and are just as others. You know, when Paul wrote in the Romans letter, chapter 5, he described us as humanity outside of Christ as enemies of God.
Yep.
Enemies of God because of our sin.
Yeah.
And
that's heavy.
Yeah, and then James also goes into some detail in James chapter 1 when he says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, the sense is without giving into it and becoming sinful through it, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. And notice what James goes on and says here. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed, and then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So over and over we read about sin leading to death. Why do we die physically?
Why?
What's one result of sin? We die physical death.
Yeah, and we get sick, and we have
That's right.
horrible things that would never have happened if sin didn't exist.
Yeah, and we've talked about how in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, when man sinned, when first Eve and then through Eve, Adam was lured into the same sin, disobeyed God, they became sinners, everything changed. They were in the garden, and this is, you know, somewhat difficult for us to wrap our minds around. The tree of life was in that garden. God gave them the opportunity to live forever in physical existence.
Yep.
And yet, when they sinned, what did he do? He removed them from the garden.
Yep. Made them see that they were naked and see who they had become.
When you go into Genesis chapter 4, you read about the murder of Abel by his brother Cain.
Yep.
I've often wondered if when Adam found that body and realized what had happened, I've often wondered if he just, in his own mind, and maybe saying it verbally out loud to himself, what have I done? What have I done? I brought this sin into the world.
Yeah.
and here my son murdered his brother. Now, so we have to come to understand that we're sinners and that we need forgiveness without recognizing sinfulness to begin with. And a whole lot of people, they have a hard time with that. They think they can live in all kinds of sinful practices and they're still okay.
Yep.
So we've got to recognize first that we're sinners, and then we can move toward seeking forgiveness God's way.
Gary Hutchins is my co-host today. Our topic is, what does the Bible say about forgiveness? I want to see if I can make this easy for a six-year-old. You know, so talk to me like I'm a six-year-old, or I'll tell you what I'm thinking. Everything that's bad that happens to people happens because of sin.
And that's difficult for a lot of people, again, to wrap their minds around. Someone says, my 8-year-old little girl was just diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult cancer to treat. Why would God do this to my little girl?
God wouldn't do that, and he didn't.
He didn't do that.
It's sin.
Well, it's... So, but when you answer somebody and say, that's not God.
Right.
And if you say, that's the result of sin in this world, that person may become really bitterly angry toward you because that's not what they want to hear.
No, and I get that. God doesn't cause cancer. The absence of God causes cancer or automobile accidents. You just, again, I think like a six-year-old. What did God create guilt? No. Did he create sin? No. Did he create shame? No. Did he create sickness? No. We were created to be perfect. Everything that happens to us in a human way is through sinful nature. And we all have it, and it shows in different ways. All right, so I was going to tell you, and I can't find it right now, but one of my favorite parts of chapter 5 is one line where Paul says, we are slaves to sin.
Chapter 6.
Is that 6? Okay.
Romans chapter 6, yeah.
Because let's think for a moment about a slave. When you're a slave to someone or something, you can be a slave to alcohol. You could be a slave to church. You know, anytime you don't do something in moderation, it is not God pushing you. It is Satan coming in and getting you. God did not give that little girl cancer. There's no way. He doesn't know cancer. He knows sin and sinful nature. Now, this is important to remember or to try to understand. Sinful nature in all of us causes all the things that God didn't create. You said earlier that David's baby died. That wasn't something that God made happen. That was something that Satan made happen. Now, don't get all scary, because I'm talking about... spiritual warfare here, but it's not about widgets and Ouija boards. It's simply the battle that we all fight, and that's Jesus against Satan. It really is that simple. If I'm sitting down with my 6-year-old, 7-year-old grandson, I'm going to take two of his army figures that he plays with, the old G.I. Joes, he likes those. And I would say, okay, over here's the good guy, and that's Jesus. And over here's the bad guy, and that's the devil. And the devil makes us do things that we don't want to do. Flip Wilson was kind of right. The devil did make me do it. But actually, it's my sinful nature. And so every time you get a boo-boo or you get hurt or you're unhappy, that is not a part of God. That is a part of sin and Satan. That sound okay?
Yeah, if we can understand, if we can wrap our minds around, what is the difference between heaven and life in this earth? Revelation chapter 7, also chapter 21, there is no pain, no suffering, no sickness, no dying, no crying, no tears in heaven, okay? Gospel hymn, you know, talks about that. Well known. No tears in heaven, okay? that's absolutely the opposite of what the reality is here in this world.
Right.
And what's the difference between heaven and here?
There's no sin. Satan in heaven.
And there's no sin in heaven.
Yeah.
No sin. But there's sin here. And so all and what goes with dying? Sickness, sorrow, suffering, pain,
accident.
All of that. That's right. All of that's connected with physical death. There is no death in heaven, and we don't suffer any of those kinds of consequences. Now, why is for physical death here? Because of sin.
All right, Gary Hutchins is my co-host today. This is The View from a Pew, and you must, because of computers and all that kind of stuff, it has to be The View from a Pew. There's a lot of other good ministries out there that kind of go with that name, but it's different. You know, you take an A out and put something else. That's the way it works. So you can always email us here at Mac, M-A-C like macaroni, at The View from a Pew. You can always search for us on any pod site. My producer, Garth, has done such an amazing job. I think we're on 27 pod sites. Visually, right now, we're on Facebook and YouTube. And starting the last this year, 3 months ago, we now have a Roku channel, which is also called The View from a Pew. Sometimes you have to go to your Roku and find that tile and then stick it on there. We're not fancy. Don't think we're going to look like Netflix or anything. But every show we do is right there in front of you on Roku. When we come back, where are we going to take this conversation of forgiveness?
Well, let's move into how can we be forgiven.
All right. I'm Mac McCoy. If I haven't told you lately, thanks so much for listening. I love this job, and I couldn't do it without you. And I couldn't do it without folks at Divine Truth Christian Store. That is DivineTruthChristianStore.com. And they have an amazing website, and you can order anything you want. Divine Truth Christian. Here in Omaha and all around the world on The View from a Pew.
Divine Truth Christian Store, where you'll find more.